From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Lydon. Two men wanted in connection with the Washington area sniper attacks have appeared in federal court in Baltimore. They are John Allen Muhammad, a 41-year-old Army veteran, and 17-year-old John Lee Malvo, a Jamaican national. They were arrested early this morning at a highway rest stop in Maryland. The shooting spree left 10 people dead and 3 wounded. We go now to Baltimore, where NPR's Andrea Seabrook was in the courtroom today. Andrea, I understand that charges against Malvo aren't being disclosed because he's a minor. Why don't you bring us up to date? This is all a bit late-breaking, and just tell us what's been happening at the federal courthouse there.
That's correct, Jackie. The charges against the hearing for Malvo is completely closed. Officials are not releasing any of that information because he's 17. He's a minor. In the case of John Allen Muhammad, though, the charges that they've brought against him are violation of a restraining order that was issued in March 2000 by his ex-wife in Pierce County, Washington State. Now, the officials allege that the way he violated that restraining order was by having a Bushmaster rifle, semi-automatic, .223 caliber weapon, that weapon, in order to come to his hands, had been shipped across state lines, which makes it then a federal offense. So that is exactly the kind of weapon that the task force in Montgomery County were looking for, though right now it's only alleged to have broken a restraining order on this man.
Did John Allen Muhammad say anything today?
He did. He said, you know, he attested to his that he was speaking correctly, that he was he was speaking truthfully in the courtroom. He answered the judge, who said that, who asked him if he knew what was going on. She wanted to make sure he was cognizant of everything that was going on, and he said that he knew where he was and why in the courtroom. That's about the extent of what he said. He was let in by ATF agents, handcuffed, sat down. He's incredibly muscular. He looks at attention when he stands. I mean, he has incredible posture, like that of anyone who has been in the armed forces and has kept their physique. And so he was in a bottle green jumpsuit, but looked very serious, almost gaunt. He has, you know, just not a cell of fat on his body. He was so in shape. And he did speak. He was very polite to the judge. He, like I said, he said, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. He understood the charges against him, and we expect to hear from him in the detention hearing that is scheduled for 4 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon.
And you talked to Muhammad's lawyers. What did they have to say?
Well, they wanted to warn people that, you know, this is a case right now. This man is only being held for violating a restraining order, that in this case, it's easy to jump to, quote-unquote, wild accusations, wild conclusions in this case, but, you know, not to jump to those, that we should talk about the facts. And that is true. If you take this on the facts, he is being held for violating a restraining order. Now, he was also arrested by the task force, who were looking for someone with a .223 caliber semi-automatic rifle, which is what he had. And it appears that tomorrow, officials will be gathering from the various counties and states involved in this to discuss further charges to be brought against him. So it looks like there's another shoe to drop here.
Thank you very much, Andrea, for filling us in.
Thanks, Jackie.
NPR's Andrea Seabrook, she was speaking to us from the federal courthouse in Baltimore. Just a few minutes ago, the task force in Montgomery County, Maryland, began a news conference, which is still underway. ATF agent Mike Bouchard said the ballistics tests taken today matched 11 of the shootings.
The search of the vehicle today yielded a weapon, which is a Bushmaster XM-15 223 caliber rifle, which was sent to the ATF lab in Rockville for analysis. The results of forensic testing are that the weapon seized from the vehicle occupied by Muhammad has been forensically determined to be the murder weapon in the following shootings.
NPR's Brian Naylor joins us now. He's been following the case today. Brian, authorities are making it clear at this press conference that the investigation is only beginning. It is certainly not concluding.
Well, you know, Jackie, authorities have, it's been reported that there are still possibly, maybe, other folks out there that might have assisted Mr. Muhammad and Mr. Malvo. And we should note also that they have not yet been formally charged in the sniper shootings. But what we heard from the ATF agent in charge, Mike Bouchard, was that the gun, they found a gun in the car in which these two men were sleeping in early this morning. That gun has been positively linked with 11 of the shootings, and so I think that's probably, you know, going to be their strongest bit of evidence as they proceed on. But clearly, there's a lot of evidence. They took a lot of things from the car. They're still looking into the background where these guys were over the past 3 weeks while these shootings were occurred. So I think there's still a lot of pieces of the puzzle that they have yet to assemble.
They were saying that they had acted on a tip. I mean, in the end, as had been predicted, with shooters, whoever they are, whether it is these people or someone else, didn't seem to have any connection to their victims. The tips seem to be critical in the arrest of these two men.
Well, it was. It's still, you know, unclear what might have motivated Mr. Muhammad if he, in fact, is being accused of these murders. We don't know what motivated him, what his motive was. But there was a tip into the phone hotline that has been established by the task force. In which someone who was extremely familiar with the shootings said that you ought to look into what happened in Montgomery. Montgomery, in this case, was not Montgomery County, Maryland, but Montgomery, Alabama, where there was last month a robbery and shooting at a liquor store in which a woman was killed and another woman was injured. And Montgomery, Alabama police say that a composite drawing they have matches pretty closely the description of Mr. Muhammad in this case, and so that was sort of the thing that got the ball rolling on this, and they were subsequently able to trace Mr. Muhammad to a home in Tacoma, Washington, where he lived, and we saw last night this incredible scene played out on TV as investigators went through the backyard of this house in Tacoma, and they sawed off a tree stump and took it in for evidence. Apparently, it's thought that Muhammad was using the tree stump as for target practice, and so there is the possibility there's more ballistic evidence embedded in the tree stump.
Well, as you've said, everything seems to have widened out since the weekend. Tips have come in. Things have been pieced together. We're in no way suggesting that this leads to cooperation, that these two individuals now detained are in any way guilty. But in terms of the investigation, the things that are getting knit together and that are taking us to Tacoma, Washington, to Alabama, possibly to other places as well, seems as if some of these things might have been in pocket, so to speak, and are now being reviewed.
Well, that's true. For instance, there are some court papers that were filed in Washington State earlier this week, in which the FBI charged Mr. Muhammad with the gun violation, and so we know that that's coming out now. They've been working on this for a while.